get started. Nobody new here, right?
No.
I haven't read through the minutes, but does everybody want to glance through them for a minute and make sure they think it seems to be inclusive? On that last page, adjournment there, I would only say change that. It's the Narcan with N-A-R-C-A-N, but that's, I mean, just if, because I think they're going to be posted,
okay,
right?
Right.
Yeah. So that.
Right.
It's in two places.
It is?
Yes. In that paragraph.
Yeah.
Anything else? Somebody want to motion to approve them?
I will.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. So those are approved. And I don't, do we have anything else we need to
No,
say
I think
or do
that
before?
Was, I mean, unless y'all have something to bring up.
You ready?
Okay. Kim and
awesome.
Andy, y'all can take
well,
over.
I gotta tell you, thanks for having us back. It's so awesome. We are we're excited to share some things today because Andy has been out teaching human sexuality and wellness to seventh grade boys. This is his third full week, and we have one more middle school left to go. The ice week threw us off by a week, so we're gonna be picking up CLAP. It was supposed to be first. We'll be picking them up next week after the students take their benchmark exams this week. But we have some data to share with you about that today. First, however, I wanted to share with you the exciting news of who our other presenter was. So this, we were so blessed to have Elizabeth Pullman as our girls instructor. She was a recent graduate of the Hardin-Simmons Physician's Assistant Program with a specialty in women's health. She's going to be joining the practice of Erin Gardner in April after she marries another AISD employee in a couple of weeks. But she had some time on her hands while she waited for her credentials to be processed through all of the appropriate boards and organizations and said, I would like something to do. And so we have had her traveling with Andy to each of the middle schools, consistent instruction by these two instructors for every student in seventh grade in Abilene ISD. So it's been a fantastic blessing. She is capable and with it and able to field any question any girl throws her way and to do it with grace. And I think that the girls have really responded to her. Andy's been around, so I'm gonna let him pick up at this point, talk to you a little bit about the experience of teaching the course this year, adjustments that we made, and then he's got some great data about how the students responded, the opt-in rates for each of the lessons, that kind of thing. And then I'll pick up at the end with some information looking forward to next year.
Awesome, so good evening. Just to kind of echo over Elizabeth, she truly captivates her audience, and so she is greatly appreciated in her role. All right, so through the course, we just finished at Madison. We finished our last lesson over teen pregnancy and development. But as you can see here, through our lessons 1 through 5, we opened up the week with healthy relationships and then avoiding risky behaviors. With that, we talked about the importance of having a trusted adult that they can go to and talk about sensitive topics, things that they may be experiencing in their world that they're starting to notice. And then having a mentor can help guide them through the stages of puberty, going through middle, all the way up to high school, even into adulthood. So, our next lesson, puberty. So if I have a room full of boys, we're talking about boys and what they're experiencing during their puberty. So that's their lesson. And then Elizabeth Soli speaks over the female side of things. With lesson three, we talk about the process of how each reproductive system works. So we talk both male and female during that time. We may spend maybe 5 to 10 minutes over males, and then the bulk of the time is spent on the female reproductive system. There's more into it. With lesson four, we do talk about sexually transmitted diseases, and with a huge emphasis on abstinence. An STD can be prevented. It's 100% effective, prevented through abstinence. With our lesson five, we do go over teen pregnancy and some of the consequences that could go with that. The focus, again, is on development with another focus with abstinence. So
I asked Andy, I said, has anybody passed out yet in lesson five? Because that's where they actually see birth. And he said, not yet, but
we have had one student gag.
Typical middle school response.
Usually at the end of the lesson, during that class period, that's when they show the birth of a child. And I always pop my head up, just kind of looking around, who's feeling faintish or who has a white face.
So with the focus being on abstinence, is anything else mentioned as far as protection or?
So as a district, we feel that it is the parental role in that. Every family has a different belief and a value, and we respect that. And so we, again, our primary focus, abstinence.
Right, but we can't provide any information whatsoever, just generalized information, not. They have, there is, like, other forms of contraception that you may have heard of, this.
Right.
They have varying rates of success. Mm-hmm. We don't do demonstrations. We don't. But there are other methods that you may have heard of that may be talked about at your family, and then that when they ask questions that don't align with that, there's actually a phrase in the standards at the beginning that talks about with the primary focus being on abstinence. When it asks beyond what the scope of that is, then we refer them to their family for that information.
Okay.
All right. So with House Bill 1525, this is all with opt-in. So before a student may be provided with human sexuality instruction, a school district must obtain the written consent of the student's parent. So before they ever engage in any content, we have to have permission. If they fail to turn in a permission form, then they automatically opt out.
So you're going to see some data in a minute about what one school did to increase the number of opt-ins.
So,
because we didn't like the number of opt-outs.
Yes. Mann Middle, they had a higher number that were opt-out or students had not turned in their permission form. Administrative personnel on campus, they were making phone calls home, getting verbal permission. And so that greatly increased our participation and delivery of content to those students. And so only having 20 opt out of the 279, that meant more developing young men and women are hearing this lesson and hearing what they need to hear. So kudos to Mann Middle. So we had 8 males opt out and 12 females. Moving on with Craig Middle, you can see the increase with 57 opted out of the 238, 30 males, 27 females, and then one student chose specific lessons. So they opted out of a few, but they did participate in two of the five lessons. Finishing up today with Madison Middle, 62 chose to opt out, 39 males, 23 females, and then two students, again, picked specific lessons. So again, a total of 270 students. And then upcoming, I am hoping that this number changes. And with a timely manner in contact before this week starts, hopefully we can get this number reduced. So again, more young people hearing content that they need to hear. So currently we have 47 males that have opted out and 30 females, so a total of 77. And then as of right now, we have four students that have picked specific lessons. So district-wide, 1,013 students have had the opportunity, and 216 of them have opted, has chosen to opt out. 124 males, 92 females. So the percentage of opting in, this is that huge jump at man that we kind of talked about. I can only assume that if that were to not happen, our numbers would be right here with Craig and Madison. So again, kudos to Man for jumping on that and taking that responsibility on. As a district, we've had 79% opt-in. Okay, and then 7% at Man opted out, 24% at Craig chose to opt out, 23% at Madison chose to opt out, and currently with 34% at Clack. So a district total, 21%. So including those seven students that chose specific lessons, our grand total is 1,020 headcount. So that's 1% of the district that chose to pick a specific lesson or a few lessons. Everyone else chose to either opt in to all or opt out to all. And so here's just kind of to show you what parents are choosing that their students are opting into. So majority, I would have to say, is our, so lesson four, STDs and abstinence, lesson five, teen pregnancy and development.
Ones
they're
opting out of, or
opting in.
If they didn't opt in for all.
Yeah.
If it wasn't all, these were the ones they chose.
It's such a hodgepodge.
Yeah. It would be interesting to know how many that opted out didn't pay attention to what came home. You know,
yeah.
Like if they really opted out,
gave it
to their parents.
Right.
If they really opted out, or they just didn't know about it, or didn't turn it back in.
We did make a district level all call to every seventh grade home to alert them that this letter was coming home, and that if they did not receive it, that they could contact their campus to have another copy sent home. And then Mann made the additional steps of doing their own messaging above and beyond ours to help get the attention to it, and clearly had a good outcome. But you're right, it's like they don't have to turn in a paper that says, I don't want to do any. You know, so it's not like every kid has to turn in paper. It's just, if they don't turn in a paper, it's presumed opt out. And that could be some, I mean, there's nothing that prevents us from setting our form up that way. we have to have their permission for them to participate, but we could also expect that if they're not going to, they must still return a form that says, I'm not going to do any with a parent signature. So that is something we could consider going forward.
And some parents just won't.
Sure, they just won't.
And again, with this week off that I have from content here, hopefully, again, I can get that number.
So a lot of students are getting
yeah,
that information.
Yeah, that's a lot. And then Clack already being a small campus, and so.
Well, I mean, what you reached a lot of children. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, that's great.
So that's all I have.
So I have a couple of quick questions. One, the opt-in, opt-out, that's the Texas legislator law. Okay, that's
the
law, right?
The law.
And also the abstinence primary is the law. Is that right?
Those two things
are. So that we don't get to budge on like trying to teach extra.
We don't get to budge on absence being primary. Mm-hmm. We don't get to budge on opt-in. Can we make the decision to add more instruction as long as abstinence still remains primary?
Mm-hmm.
The law does not prohibit that.
Okay.
Our board ultimately has to approve what we take forward, and that's not been something I think that past administrators mm-hmm. taking that message forward have found receptive. They were kind of like, let's stay here with this. And so we have a space right now, and this is kind of the last part of what we wanted to share with you tonight, and that is the proposal for we have topic pairings for next year, because really, as we started this out, Andy and I were kind of morphing, like, which content do we put together to make these five lessons?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are more lessons than that in
mm-hmm.
the curriculum we were using. So we had guidance from Shaq in the past, which lessons were the ones that we needed to focus on, and then how do we blend those into 5 days? So we worked that out together. Along the way, and this is, how many of you have been on Shaq for a while, like continued on for a while? Okay, so a couple. So it's new territory for me, so I'm gonna tread lightly here, because I the news that was given to me is that like this is sensitive stuff. So I know that in the past, at some point, there were various curriculums vetted
mm-hmm.
by Shaq, and there
mm-hmm.
were recommendations made, and the district ultimately didn't, as I understand it, follow the recommendation, and so there's some feelings around that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't own any of that.
Mm-hmm.
What I can talk to is my experience this year, partnering with Andy to be ready for this, is that the curriculum we have been using, which Dr. Munoz said she acknowledged last year, is out of print. It's no longer being published by Baylor Scott & White. It's not inaccurate information. It's just not available. We can't get the new, the fresh, the whatever, and the copies even that we were supposed to be able to make viewable to parents, three of the four middle schools could not tell me where it was on their campus. And so I am somewhat alarmed that I'm telling parents, hey, based on what I see, that they can call in and they're like, where did they get the stuff? And so I'm then trying to find out, where is the stuff? And so I find out where it's supposed to be, and only one could actually say it's there. And what she had wasn't what I was expecting to be there, because of reasons. So all that being said, I know that the last time Dr. Munoz brought this forward, it was right after the state put out their 2022 update to the middle school health standards. And it was right after we did an adoption for a health textbook. And we didn't even have the human sexuality and wellness supplement in hand yet at that time. So the decision was, we're not going to change our curriculum for 22-23 because we wouldn't have had Shaq had the opportunity to even vet that option in terms of the quality of the material, the alignment to the new standards. It was all very fresh. What Andy and I would like to do is engage Shaq at this point to look at the new standards and to look at the companion text that the kids don't have in their hands right now. We have them here in our warehouse. And if we want to make a transition in 23-24 to use this material that addresses the new standards, and we feel like the quality is here and surpasses what we had with Baylor Scott & White, then we have it already funded and we don't have to spend additional funds to get this curriculum in place. But we don't feel like that's a decision we would make unilaterally in our office.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that we have a bunch of people missing. I would just throw it out to those who are here, would we like to schedule this for a topic, try to ensure that everybody's available to participate, really look at the standards for 7th and 8th grade, which is what I gave you. It starts where I put the little blue mark and it goes to the end of the document. The state standards divide it into four kind of chunks of information. The text presents 11 lessons that could be, we could use all or some of them, and they could be paired just like Unity has done, you know, with the different topics out of Baylor Scott and White. But I think it's worth the time of the committee to look at this resource as well and see if something that is fresher, has robust teacher supports available, might be a good direction for us to use in the next year when we do this cycle again. So I'd throw that out for discussion and listen for your direction on how you'd like to proceed with exploring that.
Yeah, I don't know. Can you remind us what did happen last time? Because I was on that sex ed committee. Were you on that committee, Susan?
I don't think I was on that.
Mm-hmm. We made the recommendation because the one that we recommended was
Are you trying to think of the name of it? Mm-hmm.
Choosing the best.
And it was Abstinence Plus, which everybody on the committee was like, we have to do this because of all the data shows that we mm-hmm. need to be promoting Abstinence Plus. Mm-hmm. And so if we can, we should. But I wasn't sure what the language was. So, like, I understand that it has to be primary, and I think that's fine to be able to use and still maybe use the plus.
I think that the whole reason why we didn't go through with choosing the best was because of the fact that they knew that these new standards were going to coming out, and they didn't want to buy all this material and then find out that it was not going to be covered.
Yeah,
and so
it was, I guess it would have been a big investment to start, but that was a great program.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So just in, I mean, I'm doing a quick glance to the what, where the plus might be in there. There is a lesson on pregnancy prevention. It talks about contraception, also called birth control, and the way they differ, however, in effect, how effective they are and in whether or not they also protect against STIs, because there's a whole lesson on that as well. Choosing birth control method is a matter of understanding pregnancy prevention and making a careful decision. It goes through myths and facts, and then it has a section on birth control methods that includes an entire table of several, I mean, there's probably 12-ish here that talk about, it gives the name of the method, how it works, the number of pregnancies expected per 100 females, and it, whether or not it protects against STIs, and if it does, what percentage of, you know, like it'll say, does not protect or can reduce the risk of, and then it just, it begins with abstinence at the top, 100% effective, you know, but it does present several other options.
That looks like it could be
along
good.
The way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not ignoring the other options that are there, and it's talking about ones that would be available to youth and ones that would require some effort to get, you know, but it does facilitate the conversation. It's been a, having a 14 and a 15-year-old right now, you know, I tell them, I can't be with you all the time. My goal is to raise you to make healthy choices, and I want you to be able to talk to me. I don't think it's the right time for you to do this, but I can't be with you if you decide to do it, so I would rather you be safe.
Yeah.
If you make that decision apart from me, you know, but not every parent can say that to their kid, or will, even if they could. So I think it providing the information has merit.
That's the key, because there's so much misinformation out there that
if
you're just giving someone information about any topic doesn't mean I'm saying you should do this. It's just anybody's better off with knowledge is power,
right?
So that's my opinion.
I have two questions. Okay, y'all said 8th grade. So y'all are doing this for 7th grade, so
the standards, the new health standards for a middle school, there's a 6th grade curriculum and a 7th and 8th grade. So 7th and 8th grade health is presented as a common curriculum. So these are the standards for 7th and 8th grade. So if 7th graders and 8th graders were taking health, they would both have this curriculum. If in Abilene ISD we said, look, seventh grade's gonna cover this part of the curriculum, eighth grade's gonna cover this part of the curriculum, it would be up to us to design the guidance for that. But the state standards, sorry, for health, do break sixth grade as its own, and seventh and eighth grade have a single set of standards.
So is that our goal, to go sixth, seventh, and eighth grade? I mean...
I have no knowledge of that. The standards have to be taught, and the health techs are to be taught through physical education, with the exception of this topic, which we treat separately to ensure that we have very consistent instruction.
So what, right now, where are you teaching this then? What?
The rest of it, other than the reproductive health,
uh-huh.
That would be being taught through PE or athletics.
Okay, but the sex ed, where are you thinking you're going to go through, like science or one of the core?
Well, right now it's being taught by one guy and one girl for the whole district, and I have not had any conversation about changing that. That would be probably more fully in the curriculum office with Carrie Thornburg and Dr. Gardino. Has that been any conversation that y'all have had at all? Okay. So I don't know that there's an interest in changing what we're doing right now. I think this is sooner rather than later is good for kids, so that we would do this particular topic at seventh grade.
Third grade.
As we look forward to the idea of reconfiguration of grades, five and six being together means seven and eight are going to be on a campus together with a common health curriculum. So the break in standards is nice for even the way we're thinking about dividing up our campuses. Are the new health standards in the PE scope and sequence, the DDCD?
Yes.
Okay.
It is getting there.
Okay. So they're really pretty new, August 2022. So over the course of this year, and I would imagine through this coming summer, we'll do some curriculum writing that attaches these standards and decides which ones are going to be in seventh and which ones are going to be in eighth. And it may look further into whether or not we continue to do the reproductive health this way as an isolated unit that has a common set of instructors, which I think has some great benefit. Especially if we can continue to keep the quality of instructors the way we have it this year, because Andy and Lindsay are doing a great job.
So what does it look like logistically? Like the week that you go to each middle school, is it just 1 week that you go and then you do 5 days in a row?
Yes.
And you go to what class? Like how does that?
This instruction is delivered at a seventh grade science class.
Science, okay. Mm-hmm.
So every period, all day long.
So you just do
there
it
two
all day
teachers.
For 5 days. Okay.
Yeah.
Two teachers every period.
Mm-hmm.
One teacher and Andy go with the boys. The other teacher and all the girls go with Lizzie.
Okay.
So they have two classrooms. There's a regular teacher in the room with them that knows the kids. They deliver the content every period of the day that there are students in class. And then after 5 days, then they cycle off to the next campus. And we had President's Day holiday in there, so that's why we were finishing one campus on a Monday. This time because we had the holiday last Monday.
So is it several classes combined then, I guess? Like several science classes? Just two?
Okay. Yeah, it's just the two. Yeah.
Every period, two seventh grade science classes.
Okay.
So if kids have questions that you're not allowed to answer, you refer to parents, is there anybody in the district that can answer the question? Could they like go to the nurse or the counselor
about
resources that are available? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so students that do have questions throughout the class period, we encourage them to write it down, put it on a piece of paper, pull it up, turn it in. If there is a question that I cannot answer for one, we always tell them that your first resource on a campus is either one, your counselor, or the school nurse.
Okay, good. So that you have resources available.
Yes, and when we cover our first lesson over healthy relationships, we go over that as well. Who are your trusted adults on campus?
Have you all held on to the questions they ask?
I've got quite a few in my truck.
There have been some real zingers. I think that might be worth collecting.
They're asking very
really good questions.
Really good questions. And minus their handwriting and punctuality and incomplete sentences.
They're texting you on paper.
So they are asking good, thought-provoking questions. And so it's, this week alone at Madison, I have received probably a stack that much. Everywhere else, it's either been one or two questions here or there. From what I've heard with Elizabeth, the girls have several questions. And she's able to respond to those.
Good.
And so.
Kimberly, do you think I could ask the book company if we could have some samples of those books?
I'm already ahead of you on that.
Good. Okay.
So we have 160 copies in the district right now. We have 40 for middle school at the warehouse ready to go. If we decide that this is the program we want to use or the resources we want to use next year. But they didn't send any additional copies. So I have our textbook coordinator requesting 25 extra copies so that every person on SHAC can have one to look at along with the standards to kind of see, look, here's what we're required to teach, and here's how this publisher is presenting it. You know, are we pleased with that? Do we think it'll be effective with our students? Are there sections of this that we would say, let's not do this section? Or even recommendations, I think you could put these two together, or that 5-day cycle seems to work really well this year. Every campus adjusts their science pacing so that at the end of the cycle, everybody's back at the same point, and the kids aren't penalized. That was a great question from parents. We did a parent night. It was cold and windy and gross, but we had like 11 families represented, I think. A couple of not so pleased youth in the room, but some really good questions. And one of theirs was, well, you know, so my kid's in honor science. Is he going to have to do all of his science work for homework during the week that you do instruction? We're like, no, he won't have science instruction during that week. This is their instruction for the week that they're doing these lessons. And by the time it's over, there's a week built in that flows by campus. And when it comes to the end, everybody's finished and back on the same page. And if the ICE week hadn't happened, it would have been perfect. CLAC is actually kind of a week ahead because they didn't lose their week early on. They're taking science benchmark this week, and our goal was have everybody done before benchmark. And then it was just a nice little piece of closure, but no problem. We were easy to adjust around that. So yes, there are copies coming of this so that we can put one either available for pickup or put it in the mail to each member if we decide that we want everybody to be part of the conversation. Everybody will have a copy. If we want to give some kind of prep work, like some thinking to do ahead of time and then be able to come in for discussion in small group, that might make it go more quickly to get recommendations from you that we can take under consideration and take forward as a recommendation to the board for how we might want to treat this. Indeed, if we are happy with this resource as we go forward. From what I've seen of it, I've flipped through the entire book, and I've looked at the PowerPoint that the instructors have had to use this year, had available to them to use this year, and I think the students will find the material pretty engaging. I told Andy, I said, I'm not sure that we would be able to use those 40 copies period after period each day because I'm middle school kids, but there's an electronic version that the instructors also have access to. So if what we decide is, hey, we want to print what we want to hand out, and then we may use the visuals that come with as our slide presentation, and then they have handouts that they are allowed to write on and things like that, because I was a little concerned that some of these might get illustrated. Enhanced with illustrations. If we tried to reuse them 7 periods a day times 4 weeks, I was just worried that we might end up with some kids not having the same experience. Is a nice way of speaking.
Well worded.
So that's where we are. That I made that request to him a week, maybe a week before last, but within the last 2 weeks, went ahead and requested that she ask them to send 25 extra copies so that Shaq could each have a copy to peruse.
Well, when you get them, I'll deliver them to everybody. So get them out so y'all can read about everything you never knew about sex.
We did that. For those of you who are here with the couple of minutes maybe that we have, what are some things that you
would, as a member of SHAC, and especially for those who aren't here and didn't get the benefit of this conversation, I mean, they can always listen to it and they can read the minutes, but what would you want to do when you get this in your hand and you have the standards that we're required to instruct and you have a resource that's a potential option for classroom instruction starting next year? What steps would you want to take with that material in your hands? Because then we can put together kind of a, here's what we'd like you to do with this kind of set of instructions.
You mean like make sure that that material fits these standards, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so that could be one. One thing is, to what degree do you feel like the standards accepted are reflected in the content? Okay. What about particularly effective features of the resource? Things that you might think would be particularly effective or useful, either to the instructor or to the student? We could maybe ask in both ways. What do you think the instructors will find most useful or helpful? What do you think the students will find most useful?
One thing that I've found with the Baylor Scott and White is their textbook that they provide, they also have it in PowerPoint form. And so that's where I'm able to take a visual, put it up on the screen, and still go off of the textbook. So is that something that GW would
offer? That's what I was wondering too.
Offer.
What kind of visuals or things are connected?
And what I can do attention. At the point that you get this, I'll summarize for you. Here are the things that you have. And I've asked for an access code as well, and if that's one that can be utilized by multiple people, then I'll share that information with you so that you can see what's available to the teacher as well.
I think just accuracy and level, like grade appropriateness, just kind of if everybody feels like, oh yeah, this is a good level of, you know, language that they're using, and I don't know.
I think the most positive thing since day one, back since we've stopped health and all that, I think the board has always said they just want to make sure that everyone in the district is getting the same information, and it has not been that way.
That is true.
For years. And so I'm so glad that at least now it seems that everybody's getting the same information, and, you know, so... You know, it helps.
We don't know what our options will be come February of next year in terms of, I mean, Andy will be around. So we're not going to let Andy go. But, you know, Lizzie was kind of a one-time deal. I don't know that Erin Gardner is going to release her for a month of the year to go and teach the lessons. But it is the time of year that the physician's assistant program ends for the year at Hardin-Simmons. And so there may be somebody who is in that same position, who is staying local, who is waiting on credentialing, who has a month that they would like to be hired on as a temporary employee and knock out 4 40-hour weeks, you know, at a certified teacher rate of pay, and be our common instructor. Or there may be a retired health educator, or there may be a retired science teacher. I mean, we don't know what the resource will be, but we'll start looking in mid to late fall of next year and start trying to identify who our person will be for the next season of instruction. Because I agree with you, Linda. I think it like puts my mind at ease tremendously to be like, oh, we're good. We got one person, it's all the way through. We're good to go.
I have two thoughts on I think it would be a good idea once training is set or whatever to have the trusted adults, counselors and nurses who might be fielding these questions to have the same training so that same information is
disseminated. They're not blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
They know that yep. This is their week for sex ed.
Right, and this is what we've gone over, and this is where you
prepared,
can get the
yeah.
answers, because if that's not what you do every single day, you may not
sure.
whatever. And the other thing is, the district may, whatever, I would love to get SANE involved with sexual assault nurse examiner program, get involved to some. In fact, I'm supposed to talk to you about getting training in the school district, but whatever, that's a different story. Maybe one of them could be an instructor if you didn't have any, I don't know, everybody's, that's a part-time for everybody.
Yeah.
But I think this can, all of this can sort of open a communication line to some of these kids who maybe have experienced things
yeah.
that they are never going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
Or, anyway.
I think that's a great idea. Thank you for sharing.
What's the thought?
So with this week alone, I've actually had a few kids. When I present the material, I'm not just a robot presenting information. I try to present it on their level, and I try to be as real as possible with them over this topic. And I've had, actually, when we talk about puberty, you know, I'll bring in a stick of deodorant, and I'll show him, and I'll show them, you need this with antiperspirant, okay? And I've actually had a few kids, and I've even seen a few females. They're starting to carry deodorant around in their bags or backpacks, and I've had one student come up to me today and go, is this a good kind? Antiperspirant, you're good. And so I think when presenting and delivering the instruction, the instructor needs to have a heart and an understanding, and they're not just so robotic when presenting it. That they can get down and recall what it was like when they went through middle school as well. So, and I think with Elizabeth and myself, I think we've been given this opportunity.
And it's sad. I mean, it's good to know, because of the fact that it is sad, because lots of these kids do not have a person at home they can talk to.
Yeah.
And so to be that trusted person that they can.
And they don't always notice. You know, they don't always notice things. And
or if you don't talk about it, it doesn't happen.
Right.
Or if you don't think about it, it doesn't happen.
And one thing that through our puberty lesson, as they're watching a clip, it talks about, yeah, and I'm sure your brother knows everything. And I make a point to stop right there and tell them, your brother does not know it all. I said, if you go to your peers your age, you're more likely to get misinformation.
That's exactly what that needs to be.
Yeah.
If you want correct and accurate information, you go to your trusted adult. You go to your mentor, you go to your nurse, your counselor. I'm telling you right now, that is inaccurate. And so, again, just being real with them on their level, I think, is very important when delivering this material.
So. Yeah, I don't know how far we can get into any of this in the district either, but I have had countless adolescent girls who come in for exams say, if only I would have. Like, so somewhere in the world, we have to be able to teach boys and girls, and maybe you do, maybe that's part of this, what's... I don't even know how to say it. Like, well, no means no, but also in situations,
like once you've said yes to one thing, it's really hard to say no to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I talk to my girls about. It's like,
right.
Just going to tell you, it's going to be more difficult once the ball is rolled.
Right. But even so,
yeah.
So much as if I hadn't gotten in the car to go to lunch with somebody,
yeah.
Or if I hadn't, you know, so, I don't know. And I don't know where in the world, where in their lives we can get this, you know, self-esteem and...
Sure.
Do you talk to the... I mean, is consent part of this?
See, then that's... Right.
Not really?
So, I mean, we talk about avoiding risky behaviors.
Okay, so...
I don't go into very great detail.
Yeah,
but you can't if you're going to only say abstinence only, then
yeah.
You can't really talk about consent because...
Yeah.
Yeah, it...
Well, there are
lot.
Other behaviors that
yeah.
don't necessarily violate the abstinence, because consent begins with, you know, can I hold your hand?
Right.
Can I kiss you? And
right.
Do you want, you know, like consent begins there. It doesn't
yeah.
start at penetration. So consent has to begin way back here. And I think that we can do that. I just thought, I'm going to use the index right quick and see how this text addresses consent. It does talk about legal consent. So I'm going to do a quick run over here and see what they're talking about here.
I don't think that children before the development of the prefrontal cortex and sometimes after
think through
like I saw in here that said somewhere consequences of legal ramifications of sexual offenses, to realize that what constitutes an offense. I mean, I don't think that people realize
when we cover STIs or STDs,
that's hard for you to be to have a line where that you can't.
So the treatment of consent in here, and if I had to add something to this book, this is what it would be. The treatment of consent falls under the heading of what is sexual violence, and so it talks about legal consent and the age of consent. But it does talk about a direct, verbal, freely given agreement that occurs when someone. But then they say older than the legal age of consent clearly says yes.
Without.
And they talk about that being 17. But
it never just
without any.
There is consent that has to be given when you're younger than that.
Yeah.
I mean, so it does go on from there to talk about sexual harassment, recognizing harassment, preventing and responding to it, and assault. And it doesn't put age limits on any of those things necessarily. But man, if I had to add something, thank you for asking the question, because boy, that would be. That would be like a little lesson I would love to have with.
It's that thing of feeling icky.
Mm-hmm.
So when you feel uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
feel icky
yeah.
about something, or just
yeah.
you've gotten to this point of just getting in the car, and now you're regretting just
mm-hmm.
being in the car. It's okay.
But that doesn't mean you have to do anything else
yes,
just because
right.
you got in the car.
Yes.
And I'm sure
you're
that
not beholden to that.
Learned, I've learned more from just talking with adolescents than anything else. I'm sure that same, like you're hearing all these things that maybe you didn't think.
Because
think about that.
Some girls or some boys sometimes feel uncomfortable. Their self-esteem is not good enough to say, I don't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they
or
don't want
to. Consent to kiss. Consent to a kiss doesn't mean anything else.
True.
And that's what you hear sometimes.
Well,
how
deer in the headlight.
Yes. Those are the kids I've worked with. And
yeah.
They are getting uncomfortable.
And Big Brother doesn't always have the right information.
Correct. Yeah.
I doubt this is in there, but in the curriculum, does it talk about technology at all, or sexting or sending
it? It does actually specifically address sexting.
That's illegal to have naked pictures of underage girls on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it does talk about sexting. It talks about it goes into there's a number of places it talks about coercion and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, 563.
If you're 17 and you're
and it's
sending
early
to 14
on that it talks about sexting.
Right?
I mean, like, 563 sounds like a really high number, but it's with the entire text. I mean, this is this far into the book. It's one of the first things that comes up. This is lesson 3 in the whole text, if you're going in order. And it talks about sexual activity and that includes sexting. This is all under kind of the heading early sexual feelings. And then we have sexting, the physical consequences of that, emotional and social consequences. And then it goes into its first big lesson about abstinence, choosing abstinence, and dealing with sexual pressure and using refusal skills.
Mm-hmm.
So while they didn't use the word consent here, that's a word that could be paired in here with these refusal skills. That's a great place to add in that idea of consent. So they have like little, there's a graphic in here about what's the consequences. There's legal, professional, and social consequences of sexting. And it talks about what some of the things are that that students do.
This may or may not be pertinent and is kind of nitpicky, but I'm wondering if the boys, if they're on a campus that has only female counselors and a female nurse, is there some way we can offer them a male contact that you can, like
the idea of a training for the trustees?
Yeah, who would agree to that? But like a person who would say, I could do that.
For you,
or a science teacher.
It's your whole job now.
Everybody's trusted adult now, Andy.
Yeah.
really, it's probably their PE or athletic coaches.
Yeah. Do you think, though, it would be meaningful to, like, tag a person who would consent to that and say, like, I'll be that person.
Well,
I'm happy to give them
be good
accurate
with
information.
It, because there's some coaches that would be going, oh, no. I
know.
What do you
well,
think?
And you don't. Right.
But something like that, they have to be with those students on a regular basis in order to establish that relationship.
Yeah.
If they're just kind of here and there, then that relationship will not exist.
Yeah.
They have to be a constant in their life.
Yeah. I'm just thinking if we're telling them, ask your nurse or ask or whatever, and my teenage son would have been like, no, thank you. You know?
They have athletics every single day, and those are the guys that are there.
Mm-hmm.
They're a constant. And
okay.
So,
I think it goes along with that idea of adding in, I wrote down adding in a training for the trusted adults. And so when we consider a campus and who, you know, if we're in a situation where all the counselors are girls and the nurse is a girl, then we need to rope in select guys to kind of put on that team and help them to be aware of these are the things and these are the questions that are coming up, and you need to be prepared for some of your students to ask you this because it's going to happen. And we want you to know what answers we give to these questions so that you can be consistent and feel empowered with those words.
Real quick, and I know we're in Abilene, Texas, but what have y'all done with trans kids at this point? With trans kids, have they just all opted out, or?
I've had one female.
Mm-hmm.
She was a former student of mine at Lee at the time, elementary, before they switched over to Stafford. Starting out with man, she did go to the female side. She did opt in, even though she identifies as a male.
She went with her biology.
She went with her biology.
So you didn't have to have a conversation about that or anything?
No, didn't have a problem. She was cool with it. She went along with it.
It may be something that we can sensitively address in our invitation letter, perhaps?
So I've got five basic rules that I go through. In addition, I've added this year, be kind and seek to understand. And so I've really, every lesson, you know, I have my own beliefs, okay, and we'll not get into that, but I think as a human, we need to seek to understand, okay, first. And I always stress that, especially on that very first day with healthy relationships, that it, no matter where this person is coming from, your job, you're not a judge. Okay, your job is to be a neighbor and to seek to understand. And so, and that's kind of how I set the tone throughout the week. So, no matter if they're trans, no matter what, that's how I set the week off. So
is district policy, though, that they go with their, I mean, do they have a choice?
I know nothing of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wondered if that had come up yet.
I mean, we discussed it as being boys together with a male instructor, females together with a female instructor. But we didn't really address the idea of if you identify different than your biology and, you know, you're then, so we made, I just put a note in my, for between now and next year, what might we be able to do to make that a welcoming experience for all students? Because I would imagine that a student in that situation needs a lot of support around that idea of consent and pressure and, you know, dealing with a lot of the things that in a different way, perhaps. So that we need to be sensitive about that. So figure out what we can do to.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a plan.
Because, you know, even if it's to say, if you have questions about arrangements for your child, we invite you to call this number and talk about a plan. You know, so that they know if they don't feel like they fit in the two boxes in a particular way, that there is someone that they can call and discuss options with. This is what, these are the arrangements we can make.
Okay.
And that might be a way that we can be sensitive without having to call it out and then stigmatize it as a thing.
Yeah.
Because my experience, the kids that are in that phase of life and experiencing those feelings are like, I don't want to be called out and made special about it. I just want to be myself. Y'all are awesome. I have some good notes to put together, kind of a instructions, I guess, for when you get the resource. Like, here are the things we'd like you to do, and then we could be prepared at the next time we meet to kind of debrief that. That gives us a good chunk of time to go through the resource and take notes and think about it. And then when Shaq meets again, we can have some table conversation or something like that to gather your thoughts and ideas. Put some skeleton together for next year. That work?
Is everybody open to having a book to look at?
Yeah.
Anybody want to opt out?
When Linda calls you, if you don't
want to
do it, just say, I don't
want to
do it.
Nope.
Linda's on it. Anything else? Or does anybody want a motion to adjourn for the evening?
Motion.
Okay. Susan, a second. Okay.
Thank y'all.
Thanks,
yes, thank y'all for coming.
Thank you for tackling that. It's a very important subject, and you're doing it.
Yeah.